This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to give that sausage a whirl.
Boy, this is getting weird quick.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, this one of them kind of parties. There's a lot of crying in your beer, man. A lot of getting through it, man. It's a rough week after Texans get that ass thumped by the Tennessee Titans. And I know it wasn't literally a thumping on the scoreboard, but boy, when a team like that comes in and gets their third win of the season, it is a thumping and it is painful. It is of the painful kind, y'all. Here's the deal. I've been critical of post-game pressers. I've been critical of Monday pressers. I've been critical of the audio coming out of out of NRG Stadium all year long.
They're all fixable.
And it seems like, right? Yeah, that kind of stuff, Tyler. It seems like more and more folks in the fan base are starting to come around to my way of thinking. And here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is when you wait until the problem is so big, it's out of the jar, it can't be put back in the jar, so to speak, it's too late, right? And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm afraid it's too late. But nonetheless, D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, he did it. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about how tough it is to apply his 24-hour rule after a loss. How tough it is to apply that rule after what happened against the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, this is extremely tough, and I'm not letting this one go. This will be a week-long one that I make sure we all remember. And so, man, we gotta change. We got to play better. Right. So this one is going to sit with me all week until we get the opportunity to go out and compete again versus the Jaguars. So I want this to sit. I want this to sting all week for our guys, and I want everybody to feel. I know that's how I'm going to be feeling all week until we're able to go and change it.
Yeah. Ron, it happened, man. Everybody out there that was wondering every time I got on my soapbox about why is everybody so damn happy over there after giving games away? Why is everybody so happy over there with just getting a win even though you played like hell and it's not going to allow you to make that run at the Super Bowl, be one of the top teams in the AFC.
Ooh.
Why is everybody worried about enjoying themselves and joy and happy-go-lucky and sweep it under the rug all the time? Ron, it happened, man. I got to tip my cap to Miko, man. I appreciate, better late than never, man. I greatly appreciate the coach getting to the point that I've been at for about 5 or 6 weeks.
Is that how you really feel right now? Better late than never.
Well, look. I mean, I'm gonna get to my real feelings, but this is what I've been wanting to hear. Now. I'll be honest with you, I did not hear this audio earlier. I did not hear it last night when it happened on Texans All Access. When I heard it today, I'll be honest with you, where my mind immediately went is the bar, the standard, the expectations for D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans is clearly set way too damn low.
Oh, my God.
Like, if it takes you losing to a two-win Tennessee Titan team, who we know the drama, we know the back and forth, we know the history. If it takes you losing to a team that's well beneath you for you to change your tune, to me, it speaks volumes. That's where you are. That's who you are. That's what the expectations are. You sweep things when it's a great team like Green Bay, and you win the turnover battle by three. You turn the football over early. Your offense plays like ass. You got not your offense, but not only your offense, but your defense plays like trash down the stretch in situational football, and you end up losing a game that you should have won against a team that's been stacked up to be very comparable to you in terms of the NFL and Super Bowl contender and playoff contender. You lose that game and it's sweeping under the rug, no big deal. Week 7, I believe it was. Hey, man, we'll it's a long season, and you know, we're just going to get back to work, man. We're going to be better. We're going to execute better, right? When it's a good football team, it's a little easier to stomach for some reason. But when it's the Tennessee Titans, boy, all of a sudden, we want this one to sting. I cannot help as a fan but to think that's somewhat backwards. I would rather my team, Ron, and my head coach come to the podium after the Green Bay loss, after the Detroit loss, even after the Minnesota loss, and I'd say, hey, this one hurts, man. We're a Super Bowl caliber football team, and damn it, we didn't play like it at all. We just gave a game away against a Super Bowl, one of the best teams in football. This one we need to feel this one all week long and make sure this crap doesn't happen again.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
Yes, it did. It did. Right? Like I would prefer my coach and my organization feel that way after disappointing losses to teams that you feel like you're comparable to, than the shot in the dark Tennessee Titans coming in here and beating you like Carolina did or like Atlanta did last year. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Yep. Just, for me personally, like, I would rather a heartbreaking loss to the Kansas City Chiefs be the game that my coach says, damn it, man, this one hurts. I got to keep this one with us. We're better than that, man. We had a great team on the ropes. But instead, it happens when it's Tennessee.
Or one of the losses. I mean, I'm sorry, or one of the wins.
Yes.
Games that you just know your execution should have been better.
Absolutely.
Like the Jacksonville game where you won and it was tight and you really allowed them to stay in it. You know, the Bears game, yes, where it was tight instead of, you know, and I do think
Indy week times, one.
Yeah, week one. But I do think at times, Clint, the doing it publicly is a way to kind of address your team and a way to hold them accountable, to let them know how serious you are. Yeah, you might do it in you know, behind closed doors, but I do think sometimes making the calculated decision to say it in public is a way to reach your team. So it's not even just like which it's some of these wins that they've had where, you know, it shouldn't be like, hey, man, it's hard to win in this league, baby. You know, no, not just
Because you know when you hear the, hey, we won, and you hear the, yeah, we got some stuff to clean up, but but we won. Like, driving it home then, even in those scenarios.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. It's just leading with, hey, we just lost Tennessee. Man, we did a lot of good things, man. We did a lot of really good things, man. Unfortunately, we just did too many negatives. They offset them. No. Let's not talk about the good things. You didn't do enough good things. So that to me is just as a fan. Like I want the games where okay now you the statement games: Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills. Right, those games. When you have it, you have one of those games, two of those games right there in your grasp and it slips. I want that to hurt, mm-hmm. right? I don't want it to have to be so bad to where a 2-8 team is what really breaks you and makes you hurt and makes you really want your guys to feel this one. That to me, that just tells me where the bar is, man, where the true standard is with this team. If you lose to a really good football team, a team that somebody thinks is a Super Bowl contender, man, we did a good job just being in the game late. But if you get embarrassed, then all of a sudden we want that one to sting. I don't like the feeling that I got when I first heard that. And I hate to stay on this negative approach with D'Amico, but hell, we're here. We might as well. Boys, I'm afraid that I have severely overrated D'Amico Ryans, the head coach. I want to. The context here matters. Everybody relax. D'Amico Ryans is the dude here, and D'Amico Ryans is a tremendous head coach. But I never thought that we would be sitting here having a conversation talking about D'Amico Ryans' team being undisciplined. The 9 penalties for 83 yards in the second half, still, I cannot, it's stuck in my craw. I can't get it out. Like the fact that we're talking about the offensive coordinator's job security and he dials up his best player on offense getting a touch with room to run and scores a touchdown that changes the game late that puts all the pressure on Tennessee. It gets called back because you do everything running back who's a veteran in this league, who's got a C on his chest. Couldn't stay his ass and couldn't hold his water. Thought he was the guy that's supposed to be going in motion, right? Like the undisciplined aspect of this football team. I cannot believe that this is a D'Amico Ryans football team. I thought there would be some offensive struggles with a defensive minded head coach, Ron, and you know some of the things that come along with that, some hard headedness and some conservative play and. You know, maybe forcing the run and some stuff like that. Like that defensive-minded head coach stuff is part of it. I never thought we'd be sitting here talking about an undisciplined team.
Well, and it's really hard because, and I think this is, and I feel this way, and I would imagine that maybe, you know, you do, and Tyler does, and many people listening. Like it's hard to get there because, like he's just a dude that you so believe in, right?
Sure, yeah.
And a dude that you see what he's doing, it is working. But like you're right, Clint. I, the best way I could describe it is like I don't know if they could beat like coming into the year. I don't know. I didn't know if they could beat the Chiefs or could beat the Ravens. And those were the two teams really that jumped up. Buffalo as well. I would probably put in there the Bengals before the season. Going into the season, those four teams, I was like, I don't know if they can beat those teams in the playoffs. But never do I think, Clint, that they'll get out-coached. Did I think in any of those games that they would have, you know, an enormous coaching disadvantage, right? Like in some of these games. I thought by far he and his staff had the best coaching staff of the division. At this point, I can't say that it wouldn't be a clear advantage against, especially, you know, the Chiefs, Ravens, and maybe the Bills. I don't know. The Bills are a little wonky. But at least those top two. And I don't know that I can say that at this point because all the things we talk about, they're undisciplined. And that ain't just start yesterday, you know, Sunday, Clint. That's all year. They don't seem to know where they're supposed to be at times. They don't seem to understand their assignments at times. And as you said, man, at times there's a lack of hustle. Clint, There is no way on God's green earth that a tight end can run a crossing route and run a crossing route at 10 yards, Clint, and run at 70 and not ever end up on the ground. He never even ended up on the ground. He got into the end zone, never ended up on the ground. I don't know where everybody was, how hard people were running, but that's inexcusable. There is another play in there, Clint. This is his defense. There's another play in there where Pollard was stopped. I can't remember who it was, but somebody just pushed him in his back.
Derek Stingley.
And pushed him on forward for another 15 yards. Like, it's just...
Well, you just think about all we're talking about, Ron. Undisciplined with the penalties. They lack physicality up front on the offensive side of the football at the very least, if not in the tight end room and the wide receiver room. And the thing is, it's hard to even imagine that this offensive line and this offensive unit exist in the same locker room as Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, Tim Settle, Foley, and all those guys. It's hard to think that those two units practice together on a daily basis and don't rub off on. Like, at some point, you would think the offensive line is completely exhausted with getting their ass kicked by this defensive line because of how hard they play, right? But we're talking about undisciplined. We're talking about a part of the team. He's a head coach now. Don't give me the defense coordinator stuff. He's a head coach. Part of this team lacks the let's just say the average physicality in the NFL. It's crazy to believe, right? And then you mentioned a word, hustle. Call it swarm, call it strain, whatever you want to call it. You know, this team in a situation where you've got rival game, you've got division game, all that kind of stuff. And let's just put it at the very in the second half. This game's on the line. It's a tight ball game, right? And you're not hustling, like multiple times not hustling. As you mentioned, guys aren't in the right spot where they're supposed to be multiple times. Like, I just, when I look at D'Amico Ryans, there are some things that I'll be honest with you. Everybody knew I wanted an offensive-minded head coach. When they hired D'Amico Ryans, I looked at it. I was like, okay, I like D'Amico. I think D'Amico can be a great head coach. But there's just some things that I'm just going to have to take on the chin that a defensive coach brings to the table. And I think he has been tremendous. As a defensive-minded head coach, he's been tremendous with C.J. Stroud. He's been tremendous with the offense and kind of – And being aggressive when he needs to be aggressive and getting the best out of his offense, making moves to spend money on big-time players, impact players. You know, I love what he's done there. When it comes down to it, I never thought we'd be talking about discipline, physicality, and hustle on being a problem, like a jump off the screen problem.
Weekly.
Yes, with D'Amico Ryan's team. That's wild, man. That's wild.
Clint, I bet you they got 6-7 games this year where they have double-digit penalties. I bet it's close to 6-7 games they've got double-digit penalties. You said they had 9. They had 9 in the second half Sunday.
Yeah, they had 9 in the second half, Chief. They had twice as many penalty yards as they had 29 plays for 54 yards in offense.
Their last two home games, they've had false starts at home. Like, it's just
wide 80. Wide 80.
Did you need to just get this out of your system?
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to think, like, what makes a guy jump, man? Like, what makes – hey, fellas, hey, look here. We're going hard two.
Hard two, man.
We break the huddle Tuesday. Hey, everybody, Tuesday. Hey, hold
and
your
by
water,
the time man. They break that huddle and run up there, they've forgotten.
By the
Every
time, by the,
week, though.
By the time I've communicated with my offensive line, the defensive line knows the damn count.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. All right, coming up, the injury to Petrie. I want you to chew on this, and you can give your thoughts on YouTube and Twitch or on the text line. We'll discuss it next. Will the injury to Jalen Petrie, will his absence feel more like the absence of Will Anderson and how the defense was able to play without him, or feel more like the absence of how they had to go without Kamari Lassiter? Which do you think the Jalen Petrie absence will feel like, Will's or Lassiter's? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive as we are live here. Happy holidays to you as we're getting closer to Thanksgiving. We've had some fun here on some One Gotta Go's. Got a couple more that we can run into a little bit later on. So thank you for hanging out with us and enjoy things. Try to make things, at least talk this stuff out. At least have honest conversation and talk these things out. We've had some honest conversations today, and I threw this out, and I see some people with thoughts on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch. As I said, with the Jalen Petrie injury, if you're late to the party, really late to the party, he's going to miss at least a couple of weeks. No decision on if he's going to have surgery yet. Partially torn pec is what's being reported at this point, but he is going to miss some time. And my thought is this, fellas, is, and ladies listening, is what's this going to feel like, the Petrie absence? Is it going to be more like when they lost Will Anderson or more like when they lost Kamari Laster? And our guy Champ Slice said, no, Will Anderson and Neil Hunter are the only ones that make me sweat not having Petrie hurt, but isn't the same as our DNs. And I would say in particular with the Will Anderson thing, I felt like this team, Clint, felt the loss of Kamari Lassiter far more than they felt the loss of Will Anderson just because of what it is behind it. And that's why I say, like, Will Anderson, you wanted him back, but if Will Anderson wasn't right, the way that Barnett and the way that Denico Autry, the way that those guys were playing, like, you felt like you could fill the void. Hey, they couldn't hurry up fast enough to get Kamari Lassiter back on the field. The first time that he had the shoulder issue, and then this latest time with the concussion, they really struggle at that spot. So I throw that out there. Which will it feel more like to you? Will it feel closer to Will Anderson, where they had enough people there that you didn't feel that void as much, or will it be more like Kamari Lassiter?
Well, I think it's more like Kamari Lassiter.
Do you?
Yeah.
Even with the Jimmy Wards and Eric Murray that they had there?
It's not – look, I mean, if you felt uncomfortable in man situations with Jalen Petrie, you know, an obvious man on somebody in the slot, wait till you look up and Jimmy Ward's locked up on that sucker, or Eric Murray's locked up on that sucker. And it's not, no disrespect to those guys. It's a bad situation. They should not be put in those situations, but because of the nickel position and the corner position, those two positions have absolutely zero depth, right? So you do not have cover defenders on this football team outside of Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr. Like, you do not have cover defenders, right? You're having to play. I look up on this film against Tennessee, and you know, I mean, Will Levis is coming to the line of scrimmage, and he's going, "Hell, I got three receivers to my right. The inside receiver's got Jimmy Ward over his head, showing me man at about 8 yards soft, and then my slot receiver to that side, the middle receiver, has Eric Murray about 10 yards soft in an obvious man situation." Let me play football. Snap! You can't snap it fast enough, and he knows exactly where he's going. Those guys, and I don't mean that disrespectfully to those guys. Those guys are not cover defenders. Those guys are safeties. If they get stuck in a cover situation, it should be a big-bodied tight end. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be Davante Adams, right? It shouldn't be Christian Kirk this weekend. Is he healthy, by the way? I hadn't even looked. No, I'm not over Tennessee yet. I ain't even looked at Jacksonville.
I don't think he's healthy yet.
Those guys flat out are not cover guys. We question Jalen Petrie. Can he cover? It's 50-50. Like, these guys are 25-75. These guys are 30-70, Ron. They're not cover guys, and they have to play because you simply don't have anybody else in the building that's healthy that can do these things. So, the Jalen Petrie injury and losing Jalen Petrie to me is hell, it's equal to, it may be worse, but I hate to scare folks, but it's definitely equal to the way the Texans missed Kamari Lassiter. Yep.
Yeah, by the way, Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis, they're both on IR. So, they're not available in this game. But, yeah, I do. I think it is closer. And I don't know that I would have said that to start the year. I don't know that I would have said that, especially in coverage situations, that he and Murray, and even And even Jimmy Ward are that different in cover. I would have thought they were all the same. And you're right. We've seen Eric Murray in that situation. And as you say, let's play football. I remember Sam Darnold saying, let's just play football, a lot of times where they had Eric Murray in situations that were advantageous to them. But even more to me, it's just what he is able to do, and I mean he is Petrie, is what he does around the line of scrimmage and what he does and how aggressive he is and how he plays, and he blows up screens, and his ability to blitz is something that those guys don't do as well.
All of that
is just, you know, and now these injuries start to build up on. Well, you don't have a Christian Harris, you don't have all of that stuff now. That part of the game is different. You take that part of the game out.
Right, like what you would like ideally, right, is you would like for a Jeff Okuda to be able to cover, and maybe he plays outside and you slide Kamari Lassiter inside. And so you, at the very least, you get a better cover defender. So you are better in some aspect of the game. Let's be honest, the way Kamari Lassiter plays the game, assuming he can stay healthy, which I would rather him stay outside and stay away from contact. But you get in there, you may have he's got great instincts. You may have a Jalen Petrie type player with great cover skills. So you may have the best of both worlds with Kamari Lassiter if he ever has to play in the slot. But the point is, you don't have any of that, right? Like right now, I don't even know that you have. If you wanted to move him inside so that somebody could play outside, who would that be? Jeff Okuda?
I mean, right now. I mean,
is that who it would have to be?
Jeff Okuda or Boyd.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you feel. I think you potentially could get better at nickel, but you get significantly worse at corner. So the problem here is you don't have an individual that you can bring down there that either covers significantly better or brings a similar skill set and instinct to the game in terms of the pressures and the run stopping. So that's the scary part, is you do not have a replacement. Like, you don't even have somebody that you think can do it.
Yeah, now I think about it, and they may do something completely different, Clint, that we don't know. Because, right, we knew that Jarrett Patterson was going to find a way to end up on the field, but we didn't directly know that he was going to go to center and they were going to slide Juice over. That's actually worked better. That we may see that Kamari Lassiter slides in, because, like, if Jeff Okuda's going to be on the field, I got to believe, especially what we saw, I got to believe his best bet is playing outside.
I think that's the move. We talked about the Patterson and Scruggs deal before it happened. Is Patterson to center, Scruggs to guard. That's the way it had to happen. Patterson's too light and ass to be a guard, and he communicates better than the center that you had. So it had to be the answer, right? You look at this, like, to me, it's not Jimmy Ward's a good Band-Aid in a game where you got to slide him down there and see what happens. But the move here, look, assuming that Kamari Lassiter's capable of the move. Like, that's a lot to ask of a rookie to change positions, especially this position. But there's no doubt that Jeff Okuda would have a he would have a better chance of surviving outside, where he's got the sideline to deal with, where he can get more physical because receivers don't have two-way goes, where you can somewhat, as D'Amico, you can somewhat send him to the side away from a certain receiver without changing the scheme. You could tell him, you know, you could put Stingley in a position where you say, you know, you go wherever
Brian Thomas
goes. If he goes right, you go right. If he goes left, you go left. And you can always flip Jeff Okuda opposite of the best receiver. That way you assure he doesn't get matched up in zone or man on that particular guy. So you can do things with Kamari Lassiter inside and Okuda outside to protect yourself a little bit. I don't know that you can protect him if you go inside. Not with as much pressure as these guys play.
All right, more with the drive coming up. More One Gotta Go. And listen, the offense has issues, clearly, and not what we thought it would be. From many of you, how does Bobby solve this problem? All right, I don't think they're going to bench him, but how does Bobby solve this problem? Many people feel like they know. What is it? How does he solve it? We'll discuss that coming up next.
I just answered this one also, but
live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in, as it is a good time right here on The Drive. As always, we appreciate you jumping in and joining us, everybody on YouTube and Twitch. Those of you all on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. We appreciate you jumping in and joining with us as we're having a good time today. And I want all hands on deck with this thing. Clint, I'm sure you've thought of this as well, and we've had some conversations, because I can look at this and yes, I think, and we talked about it, Bobby Slowick is the leader of this offense. He's the one who game plans this offense. He's the one who puts this stuff together. Like it starts with him. Starts with him, and then it trickles down to CJ, as those are the two real leaders of the offense. And I can acknowledge that. But also acknowledging, Clint, that they have severe struggles on the offensive line in every single way, from both pass protection and run blocking. All right? They've got, you know, as we've said before, Joe Mixon seems to be the only back that can be dependable and can get hell yards in this offense. And that's, for the most part, there have been some games, three in particular, that he's been shut down. Even in that point, there are injuries. Obviously, Diggs is down for the year. So what does Bobby do? We understand that they are struggling overall. And as you said, Clint, what have they got? 50 points or so in the first half, the last couple of weeks. But what can he do to kind of solve the problems? What like, and a lot of people throwing stuff out there. Clint, I've told you it'll be interesting. It'll probably happen right now on the text line.
Now we're talking.
Maybe that's what Bobby needs to do.
To get to the sex line. All right. But like, you'll get some people saying he needs to throw more screens. Then he needs to not throw more screens, or they need, as you said, need to have more one-on-one protections, or they need to do this and that and have chips and. And all this, they need to run the ball more. They need to stop running it more. They need to run it on first down. They don't need to run on first. Like, so many people are throwing. What do they actually need to do? All hands on deck. What does he need to do to solve this? Or is it just not solvable?
Well, look, it's layered. There's no quick fix. That's why it's still a problem, right? But there's the reality of it is listening to D'Amico, okay? The quickest fix is for players to play better. And it's not necessarily about executing. There is a layer of that, but there's the key players have to play better, right? You have to eliminate the penalties. You have to. What you proved this weekend is that when you have 9 penalties for 83 yards and a half, even a team as bad as the Tennessee Titans can beat you. So you've got to play better, and that's on every front. Start with the penalties, right? That can be fixed and should be fixed with some tough love, guys start committing penalties over and over again, like we saw Laremy Tunsil do, yank his ass out of the game, get somebody. I don't care who else, just get somebody else in there.
Well, like, you're at that point now.
You've got to I do think that can be. That's just a focus thing. That's just a get your ass in the huddle, listen to what the quarterback's calling, and get off the ball on the snap count. Right. I mean that has to happen. And this football team is not good enough to overcome it when it doesn't happen. Number one. Number two, whatever D'Amico's talking about, he mentioned it on offense and defense. Whatever getting to your spots is, if you want to look at the John Metchie interception, the C.J. Stroud interception to John Metchie, fine. That's point to that right there. Sure looks like Metchie knew where the hell he was going, and it was a mistake by the quarterback. But those kinds of things can be fixed. Those are just attention to details. And the quickest way for this team to get better is for the players to play better. And nobody there's nobody that can impact this team's the speed in which they get better more than the quarterback, if the quarterback plays better. The truth of the matter is,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your quarterback's not playing very good football right now. That's just the reality of it.
But he can play better, right?
Like that's for CJ. Everyone knows like, that.
Because when you said that, and I agree with you, the quickest fix is that, hey, man, these dudes play like they did before and play like we've seen them at their best. And like Chris Long said earlier, these guys, they've got some guys out there that could play ball that have had great years. And as you said, the quickest thing is to play better. Is that possible for everybody? Like how many of the, like,
I don't. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about necessarily the physical side of it. Like the physical side of it. There's certain things that you're like the being more like I'm through asking this team to be more physical, right? They are hit hard
if you're playing against.
It's been 2 years now. They are who they are.
It's just not going to happen. Blame it on Bobby. Blame it on the offensive line coach. Blame it on the fact that the tip of the spear in the offensive line room is the highest paid guy, and he doesn't have a lick of physicality in him. Even though, by the way, the film shows he was a little better last week. But blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. Like that's the kind of stuff that I'm just not asking for anymore. I'm beyond asking for that. Right. You know, at the end of the day, with the way that the protection was in the Tennessee Titans game, and the way that the run game was rough, the offense still was able to move the football and still did some really, really good things. Right? You can't turn the football over at the end of the first half. You can't turn the football over in the second half. You can't miss throws on third down, especially when the five or 6 yard variety. You cannot do those things and win games, right? You got to play better. You look at in the critical moments of the game, you get the ball. Somehow Tennessee gives you the ball back for a one minute, 20 seconds or whatever it was, drive to kick a field goal. All you need is 40 yards, right? Which seems a lot, but you got the ability to do that. All you need is 40 yards and your quarterback comes out and he forces the ball to Nico Collins when the right throw is the check down, right? And then you look a little deeper in that play and Tank, I believe it's Tank Dell, the middle receiver. It's either him or Joe Mick, Mechie. You know, they're running curl routes and they're 5 yards away from each other somehow. Like the spacing sucks, right? Like all of that can be fixed. And if it's fixed, the offensive product will be better. The problem is I'm not going to do what the coaches do and come on here and tell you it's all fixable. It'll get right. It's just another game. It's a long season. Like I'm just under the impression that it's not going to happen. Because it hasn't happened yet,
and now you just got to work around it.
You got to work around it. Now there's going to be teams that you're going to be able to run the football. Like I don't suspect that Jacksonville. Again, I haven't turned the page off Tennessee. That awful game deserved 2 days of dog cussing.
We'll do a little tape drop tomorrow.
Well, I don't know what like where Jacksonville ranks in terms of being able to stop the run. Yada yada yada. I'd imagine it's not very good. But the reality of it is a game when you go out there and Joe Mixon is doing his thing and running the ball well against lesser teams, then, you know, this offense is going to look pretty good.
Yeah, I think a thing that you said that jumped out, and it is when you said the quickest way, I think there are some guys that can't. Right. I don't think Shaq Mason's playing better. Maybe Patterson can, and maybe Juice at crap a new
shoot.
Position.
All of them are crapshoots. They're not banking on them getting better is not happening.
Right. But maybe's those. I think CJ can play better.
Absolutely. 100%.
I think Dalton Schultz can play better, not block better. I think Dalton Schultz can play better and have more of an impact.
Agreed.
I think Tank Dell, damn it, Tank Dell can play better. Right. Now, I know the offensive line. And listen, Laramie Tunsil can play better. As much as he annoys you and he gets on your nerves, and I think he is a dead man walking in terms of being a Houston Texan after this year. Laramie Tunsil can still be, especially from a pass protection perspective, an elite player in that regard. He can play better. There are some guys that can to where you can fix this, or at least not fix it. Let me take that back. Improve this, because I don't know if there's fixing. There is improving, and I think there is some. Those guys, I think, are guys that I can look at and say, damn it, Tank's better than that. Damn it, CJ's better than that. Damn it, Laramie Tunsil's better than that. As annoying as he is as a player, person, I bet he's cool as hell to hang out with. Schultz can play better. I think it does start with that. And how quickly can they get to that?
Yeah, Ron, and it starts with the quarterback. Instead of talking about, you know, firing the offensive coordinator, which again, he can be better. There's no question. There's a laundry list of guys that can be better. D'Amico can be better. That can
Bobby.
Change. That, you know,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. They all can be better. But the quickest way is for your quarterback to play better. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, the Chris Long, I think we're going to hear his audio here again in a minute. Chris Long, one thing he mentions in that audio is there's teams out there that do more with worse situations on the offensive line. Couldn't agree more. I wholeheartedly agree, right? That starts with your quarterback and him being smarter and taking calculated risk. And then it comes to your quarterback. The play I highlighted earlier where instead of shifting just a little bit to the left, pushing up in the pocket and throwing what would have been a huge chunk play at the end of the first half to John Metchie, instead you slide slightly and end up getting your arm hit and you're trying to check it down to Cade Stover. You do more with less when your quarterback can handle those situations better. And so I think that's the quickest way to it, man, is through CJ Stroud. It's just the reality of the situation, brother.
All right, big position area for the Texans is getting tested. We had talked about this, that Monday Night Football game last night where it could be the Texans' opponents in the playoffs coming up in January. We'll discuss that. And Jerry Jones can't stop saying crazy stuff. We'll get to all of that.
What's your point?
That you can't stop saying crazy stuff. We'll get to all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.